Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Faniel with my friend Keith. Running the show. Has anyone ever called you Faniel?
I don't think so.
Well, it's gonna start now.
Okay.
Where did I get those two names? Faniel and Keith.
Billions.
No.
Succession.
The Righteous Gemstones. And you're actually watching that show, so thanks for paying attention. Faniel is the reporter.
Oh, yeah. I've only...
Played by Jason Schwartzman. And Keith, you know Keith, don't you? Keith is always shirtless.
He's the...
He reminds me of Jake.
Yeah, he's the live-in...
Yeah, there. You got it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the cool dude right there.
Right.
He's
in those underwear commercials.
Right. Yeah.
In touch with his emotions.
You're the Border Patrol's Keith.
All right.
So...
Be called worse.
I love that show.
I about said something that could be a spoiler.
I love that show. So, I thought I'd incorporate those two names into it.
Appreciate that.
Into our show.
I'm catching up this weekend.
Spoiler alert.
Have you watched any of them?
No. I'm watching them all this weekend.
All right.
I'll do it.
We've watched two episodes.
How many have there been?
Three.
Yeah, I'll watch all three this weekend.
We'll watch the third tonight.
Three. Yeah, they're quick, too, now that, you know, it's only
episode 30
minutes.
Hysterical.
That's right.
I was talking to Lebo about it yesterday. So I'm on top of it this weekend.
Lebo's our Uncle Baby Billy.
There'll be another one Sunday, right? No?
Sure.
Yeah? So I'll have four.
That's right.
Done.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's Thursday. It's January 20th, as I was told early this morning. This is the final day that my daughters will be 12, letting me know that tomorrow they'll be teenagers, and things will change, they said. So.
They will.
They both think they're getting phones.
That's why I thought they were changing.
Well, they're gonna, but just not tomorrow.
Right.
It's in my time. Okay? They have... their time, and then things happen in my
time. You said when they're 13, not when they turn 13.
I didn't say
when
the day 13, they turn 13.
Right.
It's a process.
So
it's a process.
300 and
we're going to talk about it. We're going to see, you know, it's a steep price change, you know. But whatever. We'll see. But I'm sad and happy. So I'm going to will Gary be back tomorrow to sing happy birthday to them? That's what they're hoping for.
Yeah, no, Gary's
if
back
not,
today.
If not, we can just have Jeff Penner sing happy birthday.
Gary's back today.
Happy birthday to them as Jeff Penner.
I thought we talked about Jeff staying on the rest of the week because he's giving the forecast.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had that kind of power to keep Gary out of here.
We just told Gary he has to give the forecast to match what Jeff has done.
I'll tell him that, absolutely.
People have been enchanted by Jeff's willingness to give the weather forecast on the show.
So will Gary do that? I don't know.
It's been very exciting. Adam Kaplan won't do that, but he will preview the divisional round of the playoffs for us at 7:30. And if you love the NFL, that's 15 minutes that you need to dig in and enjoy and embrace, because Adam Kaplan is terrific, and he will give us the breakdown and prediction for each of the four playoff games this weekend. Then Gary Lezak will be back after Jeff Penner did a great job filling in for him. Gary back from Arizona and back on the show to give you the forecast, hopefully, at 7:50.
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's really freaking
cold. I was expecting worse this morning.
Oh, man.
I forgot my vest, and so I just went out there like this. I was like, it's all right. It's brisk. It's cold.
Oh, it's brutal.
But you know what? As long as there's not ice and as long as there's not crap on the streets, I could deal with this.
Yeah, I'm a dummy and I went running this morning.
I wouldn't deal with that.
Minus six wind chill.
I'm not running in that. That's not anything that I'm interested in, but okay.
It's cold.
More power to you. Yeah, I just walked from my house to my car, so I didn't have to deal with it too much. And then I start my car on my phone.
It also might. My blower went out 2 days ago too. So
that sounds like it's a personal problem.
It's cold.
Right. Yep. Sure, hadn't been longer than 2 days. You know,
Monday.
So, but sometimes I'm an idiot. So, Sue was like, "Don't forget to start your car."
That's sweet. Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Because our garage is for storage, not cars. Then we'll talk to, we're going to have the Border Patrol fast break a day early because there will be a ban on talking about anything on Friday but football. So don't get cute. You'll get banned. Nothing but sweet football on Friday. So we move up the Border Patrol fast break 1 day. And so we'll talk to Gabe DeArmond about the Missouri Tigers. And we'll talk to Jesse Newell about Kansas. And which member of the Heidrick family will be on this week? Will it be Jay? Will it be Missy? Will it be Jay and Missy? Will it
Jay today.
Okay. Jay Heidrick will be back on the show with us in the 8 o'clock hour to talk K-State basketball. And then speaking of K-State, 905, former K-State All-American, super foodie, and former Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints, played for the Rams and the Cardinals, too. Nick Leckie will be on the show at 9:05 to help us break down the game between the Chiefs and the Bills, and we'll get his picks on the other games as well. And so we've got some sound from Arrowhead yesterday. Jake, who do you have compiled for us? We'll start playing in the next segment to get you ready for Chiefs and Bills.
We'll hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in this 6 and 7 o'clock.
It's a real good 1-2 punch right there. So we'll start you off with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. We'll hear what the coach and the quarterback have to say about this matchup against the Buffalo Bills. 1 day closer to the playoffs and this highly anticipated showdown between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. How does this compare to the other playoff games that the Chiefs have played under Patrick Mahomes in terms of excitement?
Well, it's...
You can't include the Super Bowl because nothing's more exciting than the Super Bowl.
And I say it's still less exciting than the first two AFC championship games because at that point in time, the Chiefs had not been to the Super Bowl yet in my lifetime. So... You know, getting ready for that game against the Patriots in 2018 and getting ready for the Titans in 2019, even though that wasn't as good of a game as this one, I don't think, it was the AFC Championship game, and you really felt like the Chiefs were going to go to the Super Bowl. So I would say that excitement level was a little higher.
I don't know why, but I'm more excited about this divisional game against the Bills than I was about the AFC Championship game against the Bills last year.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Because I was...
Yeah.
I was, I thought there was zero chance the Bills were going to win the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead last year. And that, and you know what, it wasn't overconfident because they didn't. And they didn't have a shot.
Right.
And, but then I remember, you know, and I lied to myself at the time. I'm so good at lying to myself. I spent so many years just, you know, I still lie to myself. You know, I look in the mirror like, you look fine.
Right.
Liar. But I remember, you know, watching that game and things, you know, I was still, I wasn't doing the show here yet, was I? I was still broadcasting from home. And so, yeah, I was still broadcasting from home. I watched it and I was excited. You know, of course you're excited, but it was the third straight AFC Championship game. Yep. And I just didn't feel like, I took it for granted that the Chiefs were going to win. I didn't think Buffalo had any shot at winning. They didn't, and they didn't win. But I remember when Eric Fisher got hurt, it really did take a huge amount of joy away from that win. You know, after the game, you got to be excited. You got to be happy. They're going to their second consecutive Super Bowl and everything else. But it was, you know, at least a couple hours ago. If there was one guy, you know, on that, I mean, they lost so many people on that offensive line and had to shuffle and everything else. Like, I don't know how they're going to overcome this. And you know what? there you go. They didn't. But yeah, I'm more excited about this game because I mean, maybe it's just because I'm nervous. Maybe it's the nerves. Because I do think, I mean, I, is this true? Am I, what I, am I, is this true? Am I, do I really believe this? I told somebody the other day, I think if this game was in Buffalo, see, here's the deal, but I'll never pick against Mahomes.
Right.
I just can't, when it comes down to it, I'm picking Mahomes. Because, I mean, if you pick Mahomes every game, you're going to come out ahead. You're going to look real, your record's going to look real good. Right?
Yep.
You just pick Mahomes, and that's a safe pick, a safe bet. But I just, and until I see it, and you know, and he's lost a Super Bowl, he's lost an overtime game, he didn't lose it, defense lost it, an overtime game in the AFC Championship game, but it's just, it's good business to pick Mahomes in the playoffs, right? Especially at Arrowhead Stadium. But man, if I was thinking with my head instead of my heart, I might be leaning towards thinking the Buffalo would win if this game was in Buffalo. I think home field advantage is hugely important in this football game, in this particular football game.
Yeah.
And I still think it's, you know, 60-40 Chiefs is probably how I feel. And that's saying a lot because usually I'm way, you know, especially when the game's at Arrowhead, I'm 80-20 Chiefs. I always think the Chiefs are going to roll. And I'm not just saying that to be a homer. I really believe that. And why wouldn't you? More times than not, you're right. Because the Chiefs, what's the Chiefs' record been with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback? But I like so that first playoff game with Mahomes, I was a little bit nervous because, you know, it was the Colts and, you know, the Chiefs had that bad history with the Colts. And we had yet to really break the curse because until you see it, can't really believe it. And so there's some nerves there, but I was fairly certain the Chiefs were going to win. I was really certain the Chiefs were going to beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and that's why that loss was so devastating, because I just knew they were going to win. Even when they were down at halftime, I was like, they're going to win this game. And then the way they came back, they're going to win this game. And I believed, I fully believed they were going to win that game until they didn't. And that's why it was so nauseating, so awful. So I can think of many playoff games that they had lost that I knew they're not going to win this game. Like, say, for instance, what's the last road playoff game the Chiefs have participated in?
Was that the one at the Patriots with Alex Smith, the quarterback?
Can you believe that? Isn't that kind of blow your mind?
That's nuts.
They played a lot of playoff games since then.
Yep.
That's the last time they've been on the road. In the playoffs, right? Yep. 2015/16 postseason. Because remember, after 16, they lost it over to the Steelers, and they lost it over to the Titans, and then Mahomes hasn't played on the road. But that game, no, I didn't feel like I had no anticipation, no hope that they were going to win on the road against the Patriots, right? And so it sucked to lose. I was like, that's the Patriots. What are you going to do? Hey, they won a playoff game. They got there. I thought they'd beat the Steelers. That was devastating. The Titans, I was pissed off before the game, during the game, and after the game. I was ready for Mahomes at that point. I'd washed my hands of the Alex Smith era by that point. So I was just like, you know what? Fine. If they got to lose this Titans game in embarrassing fashion to finally rip the Band-Aid off, let's go. Come on. This is the last time I have to watch this. So the Colts, I thought they'd win. The Patriots, I thought they'd win. I thought they'd win, you know, against the Texans and the Titans and the 49ers that year. I thought they'd win every game, you know, and that sucked. The Bucks, the Super Bowl sucked. But until the game started, I lied to myself about the offensive line. I thought they were going to win that game. I had them picked to win that game. But, man, I think this is really the first one with Mahomes at quarterback, first postseason game, where it's like, man, anything could happen. Like, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I'm going to pick the Chiefs to win. But, and it's that's how much respect I have for Sean McDermott as head coach. I think Josh Allen is a tremendous quarterback. And, you know, Yeah, I like the guy. He had some really nice comments, some cool comments about Patrick Mahomes and what Mahomes does in the community and how much he respects Patrick Mahomes. And I feel the same way about Josh Allen. If the Chiefs weren't, you know, I don't hate towards Josh Allen. And Bills Mafia, that's a weird group of fans on Twitter that have irritated everyone in Chiefs Kingdom this week, but that's another story. I mean, I like Sean McDermott, you know. If they're not, the Bills are an enjoyable football team to watch. It's a hell of a defense. Tremendous amount of respect for them. I do think the Chiefs are going to win, but man, I guess nothing would shock me out of this game. And so, I'm nervous, excited. I really believe that the winner of this game is the best team in the AFC. Not to diminish what Tennessee's done or Cincinnati's done, but I think the winner rolls on and wins the championship game, and I think wins the Super Bowl. I'm not going to go so far as to say this is the de facto Super Bowl, but that's whoever wins that game, that's who I'm going to bet on to win the Super Bowl if they get there. Buffalo or Kansas City, I pick either one of those teams over the NFC counterpart. But level of excitement, yeah, there's been other games I've been more excited for. Nerves, I don't know, man. We've heard so many people talk nonsense and talk crap on the Chiefs, and even though the Chiefs have a championship under the belt, it's like I want them to prove all these people wrong so badly, and I want Patrick Mahomes to shut these people up so badly that are questioning him, that have questioned him this year, that have questioned the Chiefs, that have said the league has figured the Chiefs out, that now, you know, like your buddy Mike Greenberg saying, you know, his confident quarterback confidence rankings, they having Josh Allen number 2 over Mahomes at number 4, you know, dummy. Just all these people that keep running their mouths and not giving the Chiefs respect, I want the Chiefs to shut them up. And so I always wondered, like, after the Chiefs win the first Super Bowl, am I going to care as much? Am I going to want them to win as much? Am I, you know, is it going to be that big of a deal to me after they win that, you know, after they get to the mountain? Will I be that excited to win, you know, the second Super Bowl and go back? Oh, hell yeah. I now have an unquenchable thirst for championships. Right. I use this word again. I'm insatiable.
Insatiable.
I cannot be pleased. I want multiple championships. I'm spoiled rotten. I have a taste for blood. That's probably that crossed the line. Boy, that didn't fit in with anything else I was saying. That seems a little bit too far. But you get what I'm saying, though?
100%. That's why I went on my rant yesterday that had Jeff Chedia making fun of my jacket and calling me a homer. I'm with you 100%. And this is the best team to come to Arrowhead since that Patriots team in 2018 in a playoff game. This is better than the Texans or the Bills from last year or the Titans.
Yep.
I mean, so that's part of the reason.
Yeah, this is the best opponent they've played at Arrowhead in the playoffs except for the Patriots.
Yeah. And so that makes this...
That's what makes this excellent?
That is what makes this excellent.
Yep. Hate to put words in your mouth, but it seemed like that's what you were going to say. Seems like you're heading that direction.
Yeah. It is what makes it excellent. Right. And it could be because I was excited about it.
Well,
I went to Stan Weber's house last night and played the game out 4 times.
But it made me excited about it.
Yeah.
What game?
This game? The Bills versus
Chiefs. No, you played
Chiefs.
This all, did you?
Yeah, 2021 Bills versus Chiefs.
Yeah. We'll get a full rundown after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to be at the Gladstone Hy-Vee, 7117 North Prospect Avenue, not too far from Steve St. John Sr.'s house. I'll be there from 11 until 1. And if you want to come out there and see me, the Hy-Vee Supercart will be cruising around, offering a chance for a lucky Chiefs fan to win 2 tickets to the game coming up this weekend. The Hy-Vee Supercart will have a QR code on the signage of the vehicle, and fans may enter the drawing by scanning the QR code and signing up. A random winner will be notified by Hy-Vee on Friday, later on Friday. And so you get a chance to win 2 tickets to the game against the Bills. at Arrowhead, a parking pass, a $100 Visa gift card, and a Chiefs prize pack. And so come out and see me at the Hy-Vee in Gladstone on North Prospect Avenue. I'm going to be there from 11 until 1 tomorrow. You could see the supercart in person. I don't know if they're going to allow me to ride around in the supercart, which is 10 feet tall. But look for it on the streets of Kansas City. And there's perhaps a chance also he's going to be visiting different Hy-Vees. Perhaps we can influence Casey Wolf and some Chiefs cheerleaders to be there as well for a big Red Friday celebration. And I'll be at, once again, Gladstone Hy-Vee tomorrow from 11 to 1 with the Hy-Vee Supercart and your chance to win tickets to the game against the Bills on Sunday. So if you're in Gladstone or close, you better be out there at Hy-Vee tomorrow from 11 until 1. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes. Usually we play some Andy Reid in the 6 o'clock hour, but let's hear a couple of clips from Patrick Mahomes. This first clip is about running backs in the passing game, Jake Pounders. We like that. We've seen Jerick McKinnon and Darrell Williams be very successful as receivers. Here's Patrick Mahomes talking about the running backs in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to get that involved, especially early. I mean, when teams are playing these deep coverages and they're kind of really focusing on Tyreek and Travis and all these other receivers that we have, getting the ball to the running backs in space and then making one guy miss usually ends up being big gains. And so Jared did a great job of that this week. And then running the ball as well. And then once we do that, you see that the stuff over the top opens up. So you got to be patient with that. And then whenever you get a chance to hit over the top, you make sure you execute that one.
I like it. How are we going to do number six? Just the answer? I could set it up. And so Patrick Mahomes was asked about his FU attitude when things start to go, things weren't going well in the first quarter. It seems like he gets, a chip on his shoulder. He gets that edge, that competitive, he's been called a competitive prick. And the best in all sports have that certain edge to them where, you know what? F you, I'm not going to lose. I'm not sure I'd call it the F you attitude, but that's what he was asked. When I think of an F you attitude, I think of Jake. That's what he has.
He's a competitive prick.
Is that right? I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, you can turn it on. I mean, I certainly, it's a part of my character.
It is. It absolutely is.
I try to limit it.
Right. I think that I think of Patrick Mahomes just being like Eric Bieniemy said, a competitive prick.
He's a competitive prick.
But he was asked if he has that type of mindset when maybe things aren't going well. He just says, screw it. I'm better than anyone else. I'm going to go out here and I'm just going to make something happen. And so here's what Mahomes, how he replied.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just really like winning. That's pretty much the end of it.
There you go. Very short, very concise answer. That's it.
And pretty simple when you think about it.
And I think that's exactly what it is. He's a competitor.
Winning.
He's a competitive prick.
Winning.
He likes to win.
He's a competitive prick.
And you think everybody likes to win, but he just has a different mindset.
Yeah.
Well, you think about the Jordan, Michael Jordan documentary. When he's looking at the iPad, and I took that personally. He took everything personally.
Oh, the glove.
He took everything as a slight, right? It's just like, how dare you think you could beat me? How dare you think this guy could guard me? How dare anything? He just is almost offended by it. And I see some of that in Patrick Mahomes, and I love it.
Well, the thing I love about it, too, is that a lot of people, even at the high level, you see, get distracted by other things. They get distracted by the individual glory. They get distracted by money. They get distracted by the little one-on-one pissing match they're having with the guy on the other side of the ball. They get distracted by the officiating, whatever. And Mahomes, like the great ones, never lose focus of why they're out there. All that other stuff is secondary. Winning is why you're out there.
And that's
the way Mahomes looks at it. He likes winning. He's more concerned about that than he is any of those other things.
yesterday I was talking about Patrick Mahomes and how, and he's always been a threat with his legs, but I think that he's become even better at knowing what he can get without risking bodily harm and getting out of bounds or sliding. I think he's been terrific. I think, you know, early on, here's a shocker. I watched some of the Super Bowl LIV yesterday. Whatever. And he took some unnecessary hits in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he got up and he was, but he there was a couple of times like, And I don't want him to take hits that are unnecessary in the open field. And I think he's done a tremendous job. He's always been good with his legs and knowing when to run. But now, you know, like Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to hold him. You got to know when to fold him. He knows, like, okay, I'm getting out of bounds. Okay, I don't need to take this linebacker on. Let me get down, right? And so he was asked about having that understanding of when to take off and run. And I think he's always had that. But to me, he's improved even more of when to, okay, let me protect my body. Let me protect myself. And also, you know, protect the football, which is important. But here's Mahomes talking about when he decides to take off and run.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think you've seen it from me in the playoffs before. It's when teams really focus in on Tyreek and Travis, and they have two people on both of them, and then other guys are getting covered in kind of man-type covered situations. It kind of opens up lanes for me to run. I've been telling Tyreek I'm getting faster every year, too. So, I mean, I got a little bit of speed there. And so when it's presented the opportunity, I think I'd try to get up, get first downs, get out of bounds.
That's right. You see, the key thing there, you hear what he said at the end? And get out of bounds. Because he didn't always do that early on. And he used to scare the hell out of me, right? I mean, everyone's so, you know, nervous Nellies about him, the quarterback sneak. Why wouldn't you be nervous about him, you know, trying to take on a safety 15 yards downfield? Speaking of safeties, let's hear what Patrick Mahomes had to say about the safeties, starting safeties for the Buffalo Bills, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're very smart, very athletic, and really have an understanding for what they want to do as a defense. I mean, they're two Pro Bowl caliber players. I mean, it's hard to get two safeties like that on the same team. And they play well off of each other. They know how to kind of rock the two high shells to go to one high. They both can play up top or down low. And so it's a tremendous challenge to try to get a read for what they're doing. I mean, they have two great players in the back end that can really do a great job of disrupting what you want to do as an offense. So you have to try to account for both of them on every single play.
That was Patrick Mahomes on a variety of topics. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jay Gutierrez. If you are wondering about the injury report for the Buffalo Bills, one name, Mario Addison, defensive end, with a shoulder injury, was a limited participant yesterday. For the Chiefs, five names on the injury report. Two of them did not practice. Rashad Fenton and Darrell Williams. Again, that toe, and they said they're trying to rest it, and so we'll see. But Darrell Williams did not practice with his toe injury. Rashad Fenton did not practice with his back injury. Remember, he hurt his back locked up on him in pregame warmups before the game against the Steelers. Clyde Edwards-Helaire with his shoulder, Tyreek Hill with his heel, and L'Jarius Sneed with his knee, all were full participants on Wednesday. But with Clyde, remember, he practiced last week, and then he didn't practice, and then he was done. So we'll see how he responds today, if he's back out there and once again is a full participant. But he was a full participant on Wednesday. And so not a very lengthy injury report. One name for the Bills, but only two guys did not practice on the injury report for the Chiefs, Fenton and Williams. Also, some interesting news. And I told Jeff Chedia this. And see, this is what I told you earlier on in the show. Sometimes I lie to myself. This was a case of Jeff Chedea lying to himself on this show. Because did you see the report from Bruce Feldman last night? Bruce Feldman's good when it comes to reporting on college football. He said, he reported, sources inside Michigan say that Jim Harbaugh would take the Las Vegas Raiders job if offered. And boy, let me tell you something. You think this West, this AFC West is wild now. There are coaches I wouldn't be concerned about. Like, yeah, whatever, you know. Because I'm real curious to see who the Denver Broncos are going to hire. Nothing against Rich Bisaccia, because I think he did a great job as an interim coach. But if they kept him, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, maybe the Raiders will finish, you know, second or third and get in the wild card. I wouldn't fear the Raiders as competing for the division title. But not that I would pick the Raiders to overtake the Chiefs, even if they got Harbaugh, but I think that would command some attention. What do you guys think if Harbaugh went to the Raiders?
Oh yeah. They obviously have a decent team, a team that's good enough to get to the playoffs and take the Bengals down to the wire at their place. So, yeah, Harbaugh is a really good coach. I think that's, put it this way, if you put Harbaugh in charge of that Chargers team, I think they're real dangerous.
They'd be in the playoffs this year.
100%. Well, nothing's 100%, but yes.
No, you said 100. I'm with you. And if for people that forget, now he wasn't in the NFL for a long, long time, four seasons. He had a record of 44-19-1 with the 49ers, 13-3, lost in the championship game, 11-4-1, lost in the Super Bowl, 12-4, lost in the championship game, and then his fourth and final year, 8-8, didn't make the playoffs, and that was it. So in four seasons, three trips to the NFC Championship game and one trip to the Super Bowl with a .690 winning percentage. And in the playoffs, he was 5-3. And then you see what he's done at the collegiate level. Now, has he always had Michigan where Michigan fans demanded? No. But he got to the college football playoff. I mean, he's been good, right?
Yep.
Yep. Hadn't been a disaster. So, yeah, that would certainly get my attention if he ends up going to the Raiders.
Well, we'll see if Jeff's right. Jeff says he's going to play all this just to get more money out of Michigan.
Right.
We'll see.
Well, that's why I thought it was noteworthy that Bruce Feldman says he'd take the job.
Yeah. But is that, you know, is that Harbaugh floating that out there so that it puts the Michigan's feet to the fire? Or is he really going to take the job? I'm with you. I could see him taking it. I could see him going back to the NFL.
Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's for real. I mean, especially if he had full autonomy and had full control. I also read some things yesterday that he would be looking to hire Vic Fangio as his defensive coordinator.
And look, as I've said about Vic Fangio,
right.
He's one of the very best defensive coordinators in the game. And look, you can be a great coordinator and not be a good head
coach. Absolutely you can.
That's it, so That would be a hell of a coaching staff.
Right. Yeah. Right. So
they just have to decide if is Carr their quarterback or do they want to go in a different direction.
I mean, I imagine he'd ride Carr next year and then bring somebody in to replace him after that. I mean, you put a franchise tag on Carr.
A lot of quarterback hungry teams out there that might be willing to give you something. I mean, think about how many teams without a quarterback would be greatly improved with Carr.
Half the league.
But just think about some teams that, like, maybe he'd be the difference between them making the playoffs and not. They just need a quarterback. He's not going to go to Denver, but, like, if he was the quarterback at Denver, they'd be
Miami.
In the playoffs. They would have been in the playoffs.
Look how much better the Steelers would have been.
Steelers, exactly.
I mean,
I saw one Philadelphia writer suggest that that's who the Eagles should pursue, but they're against Jalen Hurts, and then immediately the GM came out and said, Jalen Hurts is our quarterback. But who knows? Who knows what they do? But, yeah, there's plenty of teams that could use Carr that would be willing to get something up for him. But
My point in saying that about Fangio is that if that, those rumors are out there, then he's considering it. If he's looking to put staffs together already, and it's not just lip service, there's got to be some truth behind it.
We'll see. I thought that was interesting. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez. Here's a couple of more fun facts heading into the big game on Sunday night between the Chiefs and the Bills. Travis Kelce has at least 100 receiving yards in four straight postseason games. There is not a single player with a longer streak in the Super Bowl era. What's that face, Jake?
That's awesome. Right?
Well, yeah. He's the best.
I mean, that's... I guess that just surprised me a little bit, but I mean, it makes sense. Is that...
You know, I don't mean...
He's the best.
I don't mean to be a...
Revisit it.
A jerk, but I...
Revisit it.
I don't get much pushback anymore from the Tony Gonzalez is better than Kelce for.
Yeah, nor should you.
I used to get a lot.
Yeah, but he's doing things that nobody's done before. I mean, he's pounding that into the dirt.
A lot.
Not from me.
Well, from people. In the postseason, he has 88 catches for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. And he, I mean, look, he's I know he was banged up a couple of times and look, but boy, when you watch him, when you look at him, I don't feel like, well, he's this thing's coming to an end. He's got maybe a year or two left. He looks fantastic.
I mean, just go back to that Chargers game when they had five guys surrounding him when he caught the ball and he juked all of them and took it to the house without anybody laying a hand on him.
Right. And he doesn't get enough credit as a blocker.
Nope.
You know, so. He was 8 for 109 against Cleveland. In the championship game against Buffalo, 13 for 118. And so last year in the playoffs against Cleveland, 8 for 109 with a touchdown. Then against Buffalo, 13 for 118 and two touchdowns. In the loss to Tampa in the Super Bowl, he's had 10 for 133. And then last week against Pittsburgh, 5 for 108. That's four straight 100-yard games in the postseason. No one else has done that in the Super Bowl era. And he ain't done. Because he's going to have another 100 on Sunday.
Give that man a kiss.
I will.
Kill a Trav.
Want me to?
Yeah, for the TV viewers as we're going to break.
Also, Jason McIntyre tweeted, the research team at Fox, since 2000, teams that have scored 45 or more points in a wild card game went 1-4 against the spread and 0-5 straight up in the divisional game the following week. That excludes Green Bay since it lost 51-45. The only time a team covered the next week after they scored at least 45 points in the wild card round was the Browns last year in KC. And the only reason they covered was because Mahomes got a concussion. Thank you so much for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up at 7:30, Adam Kaplan, then Gary Lezak, then the Border Patrol Fast Break with Gabe DeArmond and Jesse Newell and Jay Heidrick. Nick Leckie at 9:05 up next. We're going to hear some comments from Andy Reid. Also, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Jordan Poyer. So we'll hear some comments from the Bills as well on Sports Radio 810 WHB.